Brother Carpenter pastored probably a total of right around 17 years here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church back in the late 60s through the early 80s, and God used him in a mighty way. He and his wife, Ms. Martha, used them here, and they've always been friends of this church. And of course, they were here for a year during the interim period as you folks were searching for a pastor, and just so thankful for his encouragement to me personally. Ever since I've come, he's always said, "Brother Brinson, I just want to help you any way I can," and he has, with great advice as an older preacher to a young preacher, and just so thankful for his ministry, and so thankful that he can preach God's Word here this morning, and looking forward to the message. Pastor, you come, and after the special, you just come and preach what God's put on your heart.
So good to be with you today, to be back at home. My first sermon here at Crooked Creek was in December of 1965 at Christmas time. So I'm always reminded of those wonderful days that we have had here at Crooked Creek. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verse 7. And preaching today about strength for the journey. Strength for the journey. I have a sermon in 2 Timothy that I by that title, but I call this strength for the journey number 2, okay? And so, strength for the journey. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. As you're turning in 2 Corinthians, we find how that God is moving and how that God is working. And we see the glory of the ministry, the glory of the ministry. Every believer, let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. But are you saved? Do you know Christ as Savior? If you are, you're in the ministry. All of us who are saved have a ministry for God. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. If you're saved, what is your ministry that you have for God? What is it that God has called you for, put you here upon the earth, and left you here for all these years? What is it that God wants you to do? That's the most important question. Paul said, after he was saved, the first thing he said was, "Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do?" And then preaching today about the strength that we need for the journey that God has for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Paul is speaking here, and he said, "Unless I should be exalted," really that word speaks about haughty, lest I should be proud above measure, there through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, there was given unto me a thorn. And really that word there, thorn, speaks about a disability. That is, every one of us have some kind of disability. Every person in this building has some kind of disability. You see, I don't think I have a disability. You just don't know about it yet. You do have, and once your hair gets gray, you'll find that you have many different kinds of disabilities, and you're really going to need strength for the journey. He said, "Lest I should be haughty," God, there was a messenger. There was a thorn, a disability in the flesh, a messenger, and that word there speaks about really in the original, an angel. Seems strange that God should reveal this disability as an angel that comes to Paul, and that disability that comes to us. And we're going to see that how God responds to this messenger, which angels are messengers, okay? A messenger of Satan to buffet me. And really that word speaks about striking, being struck, being hit by a fist, to be knocked down, to be sometimes knocked out. Have you ever been knocked down? And so we see, he says, I was struck down. I was hit with blow after blow, and lest I should be exalted above measure, struck with a fist. For this I besought the Lord, Paul says, thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. Paul prays about this. And God answers him, not with the answer that he wishes to have. But God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul says. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory. I will rejoice in my infirmity, in my weakness, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I want us to stand together, please. Would you stand with me, please? And let's read now 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Verse 9. Are you ready? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's pretty good. Well, let's try it one more time, okay? All right, are you ready? And he said unto me,
my grace
is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Be seated, please. Last Friday, I'd gone to Gainesville, Winnie Hargis Gray, to the doctor, okay? One of my many doctors that I have. And those who know me know I like to eat. So we went out to the barbecue place. Now, once in a while, you get in, it's not something you eat every day, but so we went to the barbecue place, walked in, and there was a guy there who was one of my members that I had when I was at church in Gainesville. He's a preacher boy. The most unlikely person that I had, about 20 preacher boys and missionaries that have surrendered to preach the gospel in the ministry that God's given me, one of them. He was the most unlikely guy you've ever seen to be a minister of the gospel. God works in very strange ways. Some of those that I thought would be great are not. This guy pastors a church in Gainesville. His church was located in an area that was declining. They relocated, have a beautiful church there. And what an incredible thing. A more incredible thing is that his son also has surrendered to the ministry, and he's a very fine young man. God works in very strange ways. Someone said, the Bible says God works in mysterious ways. It really doesn't. The Bible doesn't really say that. That's a song. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. When I got the title for this from a book written by Jerry Falwell, Strength for the Journey. My dad, one of my favorite sayings was, if I had known I was going to live so long, I'd taken better care of myself. And Dad lived to be almost 93, and my mom lived to be almost 96. And now I quite better understand what Dad meant was when he said, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Jerry Falwell was a very unlikely person to become a great servant of God. None of God's servants are perfect. I don't want to break your concept of me, but I'm not perfect, okay? I'm really not. I don't know any perfect preachers. And so his grandfather was an atheist, and his father was a bootlegger. Isn't that strange? I always told a joke about my family, is that my people, Martha's people, made the whiskey and my people tried to drink it all. That's really true. The true fact is that one side of the family did make it of my family, and the other side tried to drink it all. Jerry Falwell was not one in some great service in a church, but a friend started talking with him, and he eventually came to know Jesus as his Savior. And you know really the rest of the story about what God did in Jerry Falwell's life, in his life, and now he's with the Lord. I think about our life. I think about the journey that we're on. It's amazing the way things have changed. In the old days, we had road maps and all of those things that you would take a trip. Now, you take your phone out, and you know this little lady in there, Mr. Google and Mrs. Google, and Mrs. Google will tell you, turn left, turn right, and all those things. But you see, God has given us His direction about our life, about what He wants us to do. That direction is called the Word of God. That direction is called the Spirit of God that indwells every believer. That every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Every believer has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Every believer has been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ at the moment of salvation. God has His direction for us, for the seasons of our life. Some of you are in the spring of your life. It's wonderful to be in the spring of our life, and the graduates that we had this morning, it brought back memories of when I graduated from school, college the first time. Went back the second time for another degree, and finally Dad said, son, don't you think it's time for you to go to work? Don't you think it's time for you to get a job? And so, in that season of life, God gives us strength for our journey. I was talking to someone here this morning in the service about that. When I was young, I thought it was my strength. I thought all the things that were happening happened because of my strength. But I realized now it was God's strength all the time. So if you are in the spring of your life, you need the strength of God in your life. Some of you are in the summer of your life, that part of your life, where you're so busy with your career and so busy trying to do all the things that you need to do. And that only God can give us the strength for our life. I was enjoying the boys and girls here on the front row, thinking about what God was going to do in their life. I was thinking about some of your parents are in that stage of your life now, raising your children. Some of you are in the fall of your life, and it's a different phase. It's a different part, and you need strength for that part of your journey. I'm glad I can tell you by experience that God has strength for you in the spring of your life. I can tell you not by a book that I read, but by the experience that I've had, that God has strength for you in the summer of your life. And God has a strength for you in the fall of your life. He has that strength that you need. And then those of you, and I'll speak about you, I will not speak about myself, but those of you who are in the winter of your life, I can tell you that God's strength is sufficient for you. As we look at this text today, as God said to Paul, my strength is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. God says to you and calls you by your name. He says, my grace is enough for you in the period of life, in the part of your life that's happening to you tonight, this morning. I do not know where you are in your life, but I know that every one of us need grace. Amen. I know that every one of us need the power of God. Yeah. And so we see, number one, the source of strength for the journey. What is the source? You know, it's not in a pill. That source is not in a pill. That source is not in a bottle. That source is not in the circumstances of life. Where people say, well, I'm doing well. I'm doing good. Except for the circumstances, under the circumstances, I'm doing well. But the source of strength is not in us. It is not in muscle power. It is not in brain power. It is not who you know. It is, God says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough for you. Do you realize that you need the grace of God more than anything in this part of your life, wherever you are? Whatever's happening to you now, whatever the circumstances are in your home, whatever the circumstances are with your children, whatever the circumstances are with your grandchildren, whatever the circumstances in your career, whatever is the circumstances as far as your finances are concerned, regardless of what your health circumstances and conditions are, he says, my grace is sufficient. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? You say, Brother Bill, what is grace? Someone has said God's grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. But grace is God's unmerited, loving favor that he has showered upon us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. God has favored you, and that favor that we call, the Bible calls as grace, his unmerited, undeserved, loving favor. I do not deserve any of this grace. And you do not deserve any of this grace. And so God defines this grace. He says the source of the strength that we need to get through life, and not just to get through life, but to get through life successfully, to get through life victoriously, to get through life joyfully, to get through life lovingly. He tells us the source is grace. It is not willpower. It is not brain power. It is, if you please, grace power. Grace power. And so God has displayed his grace to us. The source of strength for the journey is the grace of God. I think about Noah. How many of you have been to Noah's Ark? Some of you have. I'm looking forward to going there. I hope to go there next year. And you think about Noah, who preached 120 years. Now, I have not preached that long. 120 years. And not a single convert, except his family. Not a single convert. He preached, you just think about if you've been Noah, building that great ark. We see the source of Noah's strength was the grace of God. I think about Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. And what a marvelous, thrown into prison for something he did not do. You know, I preached a lot in prison, and there are not many guilty people there. I mean, you know, there really aren't. I'm not guilty. I didn't do that. And it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. And Joseph was thrown into prison. Yet he had a wonderful attitude. He didn't say the whole world's against me, and nothing good's going to happen to me. He said, you meant it to evil, said to his brothers, but God meant it for good. God enabled him to have forgiveness to his brothers and to have a forgiving spirit, the source of grace. Joseph could do that only because of the grace of God. I think about Mephibosheth. That's a pretty hard word. Who lived down in Lodibar, who was a cripple. And God moved David to bring him to his table and bring him to his place. I think about him who lived down in that poor place, that terrible place. I think about Jesus, who perfectly displayed the source of grace. My grace, God said, is sufficient for you. I think not only of the source of strength, but I think about the supply of strength. How many times have you said, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I just don't know how I'm going to get through it. And some people become so depressed about their circumstances that they really lose all reality. And the supply, my supply of strength is limited. My brain power is limited. My physical power, my physical strength is limited. And yours is limited. And my willpower is limited. But God's power is unlimited.
Amen.
He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. My supply is enough. My strength is enough. It's enough to save us. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has not been saved by the grace of God. You say, what do you mean? The Bible says the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And maybe there's someone here this morning who does not know Christ as your Savior. And His grace is sufficient to save you. To save you from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin, which is death, eternal separation from God. Every one of us need His grace and His salvation from the penalty of sin. But you know, it's a long time before I realized that Christ had not only saved me from the penalty of sin, but He had saved me from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so, there's a power of sin. There's a power of our heredity. You know, today, so many people got involved with their heredity. And they're seeing where they're from. You know what I'm talking about? And they see, you send a little sample of your DNA, and they tell you where you're from and where your people are from and all that sort of stuff. But there is this matter of heredity. And it's powerful. It is powerful. You go to the doctor and you fill out all the things about the doctors and they say, what diseases did your father have? What diseases did your mother have? How about your grandfather? How about your grandfather? How about your grandmother? And you know what? They're diseases in my DNA. And I have the same thing. I have lung trouble. And it's a very terrible thing. It killed my father at 93. You think about that a moment. You know what the life expectancy is. But it's not. But I have most of the diseases that my dad had and my mother had. Almost every one of them. And you know what? That's heredity. And Christ came to save us from our heredity. Amen, Brother Bill. Okay. Yeah. Some of you here have a bad temper. And you get mad and you blow up and you just explode all over the place. All over the wall. That's just the way I am. That's the way my daddy was. That's the way my mother was. God's grace has power to save us from that. Mean things. I have some of my kin folks been in prison, okay? How about yours? You look further enough up the tree, it'll be there, okay? Ignorance is not bliss, okay? God's grace came not only to save you from the penalty of sin, it came to save you from having a bad attitude. God's grace came to save us from being mean and ugly. And, amen, but Brother Bill, you stop preaching now. And started meddling. And so we just say, oh, that's just the way that I am, you know. That's just the way I am. You don't have to be that way. Amen? Some of you have a PhD in worrying. Amen? A PhD in worrying. And you say, that's just the way that I am. You don't have to be that way. God's grace is sufficient and enough to save you from that moment by moment. So I don't know what it is. Some of you may be pessimistic. You grew up in a pessimistic area, part of your life, in your family. God's grace is enough to save us. I think about John Newton, whose mother was a very godly woman, and she prayed for John so very much. And his father was a sea captain. His mother died very young. And so John went to be with his father, went out to sea, and became a sea captain himself. Not just a sea captain, but a captain of a slave ship. He was a man who trafficked in human lives. He was a dirty slave trader. Can God save a dirty slave? And I want to tell you, slavery is a terrible sin. And it was a terrible blight upon our country. And we are still paying the results of having slavery in our country. Amen. Amen. Could God save a man who trafficked in slavery? Yes, He could. And during a storm once on a ship, John Newton cried out to God, and God saved him, and God changed his life. And here's what John Newton had written on his tombstone. John Newton, a preacher of the gospel, who was once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, appointed to preach the faith He had long labored to destroy. God's grace is sufficient to save us from the power of sin. I do not know what your bad habits are. But let me say a word. We hear all this sexual stuff today about all these men who are being accused. You say, Brother Bill, what's wrong? It's called pornography. I dare to say that there's somebody here in this building who's on pornography. Somewhere you have it on your computer. You're going to porno sites. And you're involved in pornography. I will tell you, that is a dead end, hellish road to be upon. And no one should be involved in pornography. And I want to tell you, God's grace can set you free. I remember one day I was cleaning up the road site, and I saw a magazine. When I saw it, I knew exactly what it was. It was a girly magazine. Now, girly magazines now are tame from what we have today. Every kind of detestable thing, from every kind of sex you can think about, including bestiology and sodomy and all those things, don't go there. You say, what'd you do? I took it to the trash pile and I burned it. Don't go to a porno site. Don't read a porno magazine. Don't get involved in that kind of... God's grace is able to save you from that. The source, my grace, the sufficiency, the supply is unlimited. Thirdly, very quickly, the strength for the journey. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God has the strength that we need. I think about the story about Lou Gehrig, who's a baseball player, who's called the Iron Horse, who played 2,130 consecutive games and stood a set a record that set for 56 years. Cal Ripken broke that. But he had Lou Gehrig's terrible, what we call it now, Lou Gehrig's disease. We had a man who was a member here, Pete Deal. Some of you knew Pete. I watched a strong, mighty, powerful man who had tremendous strength. I saw that strength go away, and I go and speak to him and talk to him. You get to where you can't breathe. You get to where you can't swallow. You can't move your muscles at all. I spoke to him. I said, Brother Pete, just remember that our light afflictions are but for a moment. But just for a moment. Now, I've lived years. And His grace is sufficient. But that's just a moment. It seemed just like a moment when I was sitting here with these kids. That age, I remember my mother taking me to Sunday school. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. Just a moment. Just a moment I was graduating from college. Just a moment I was in, when I was in the service. Just a moment when I, down the creek, came down here, preached at this church. An old building, the building's about to fall over. Just a few people. Just a moment that Martha and I got married. Just a moment. And now I pastored six churches. I started asking God about longevity a long time ago. And I said, Lord, help me get 70. He did. You say, what'd you do when you got 70? I said, Lord, what about 80? And He did. You say, what have you done? I've quit praying about that, okay? But God's grace, our light afflictions are just but for a moment. And people tell me, Brother Bill, I don't know how I'm going to stand this. How can I stand this? How can I take this? That's just a moment. It's just a blip. When I think about that, you and I are going to live forever. As long as God lives. As long as God lives, we're going to live. And His grace, His strength is enough. Enough for us to follow Him. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. So that strength, He gives us strength. And that strength is always enough. He doesn't give us strength before we need it. I don't need dying strength. I hope I don't. I just need strength to live. I just need strength for this moment. I just need strength to do the things that God wants me to do. I read about a mouse and an elephant we were walking across the bridge. Can you imagine a great big elephant and a little bitty mouse? And they walked across that bridge. That bridge was really quaking with that elephant. And the mouse said, "Boy, we really shook that old bridge, didn't we?" Yeah. We really shook that old bridge. And so we need strength. We need strength to walk humbly before God. We need to walk humbly before God and realize that this world will get along without us. It really will. We need strength to pray. I'm closing now. A member of the church gave me a book, All the Works of E.M. Bounds. And I appreciate that, and I read it every day, every day, every day, E.M. Bounds. I'll tell you a story, my E.M. Bounds story. First real job I had, after Dad told me that I needed to get a job. The reason I needed to get a job is because in my family, my parents sent my older sister to college. My older sister sent my younger sister to college. My younger sister sent me to college. And it was time to send my brother to college. That's why I had to go to work. And I went to work running a radio station in Washington, Georgia. And I lived, I rented a house across from a big house, where there was a museum there. I didn't know and didn't care about that kind of stuff then. But you know who lived in that house? E.M. Bounds. The greatest writer on prayer is E.M. Bounds. He lived in that house. Later on, I went back and walked through the house. Martha and I walked through the house. And I realized the power of prayer. I try to think about the power of prayer every day. Paul prayed about this weakness. He prayed. And you and I need to pray. And God said, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is enough." I think about those who are depressed. Maybe there's somebody here in this building today who's depressed. And you really wonder if you're going to make it, okay? I remember in the old building one day I preached a sermon about Naomi, who came back home and she said, "I went out full and I came back empty." I preached that sermon. As I stood at the door that day, people went out. A man shook my hand. He said, "Brother Bill, that's me. That's my life. I went out full and I came back empty." I spent a lot of time with that man, talking with him, trying to encourage him. His dad had a disease. And one day I got a call, come down to our house, that he had taken his life. And I went down there. I don't know how depressed someone may be here today, but I want to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. I don't know how low you may have gotten in your life, but I want to tell you, God is there. He is there. You can never get too low in your emotions that God is not there. I want to assure you that His grace is enough for whatever you're facing. Somebody's saying, "I don't know how I'm going to keep on in this marriage. I don't know how I'm going to keep on doing it." I want to tell you that God's grace is enough. And He will give you the strength for the journey. As I told my friend with Lou Gehrig's disease, this light affliction is just for a little while. And soon the battle is going to be over. And it's going to be eternal glory. Father, we pray as the musicians come forward for that person who doesn't know You as Savior. There's probably somebody here today who doesn't know You. And Lord, I pray that they'll realize that your grace is sufficient to save them. Lord, there are folks here today who are saved, but they're bound by every kind of thing. Every kind of thing. Some are down in the basement in their emotions. Some are down, way down, way down, way down. And they don't know how that they're going to go on. And they don't know how they're going to beat it. There's no pill that can save them from that. But God's grace can. And God's grace is enough. And Lord, I pray that that person, as we have the invitation, will come and bow in this altar and let someone show them how to receive Christ. And Christians, Lord, Lord, I need your grace. I need it worse now than ever. I need your grace. There's no one here in this building who needs your grace more than I do. And I believe that those maybe today who seem to be hopeless, and Lord, some who are grieving, and Lord, they say, how are we going to make it? And how are we going to get through with it? Through this? And Lord, we know that it's grace. It is grace. Lord, may we accept your grace. May we receive it, Lord, and let you work in our lives. Father, as our pastor comes forward with the invitation, I pray that you might move in mighty power. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.